Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1273, March 26, 2024. 81 degrees on this day in 2007. Cool. And 10 below on this day in 1996.
Hail the Flashlight King.
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your Flashlight King, Fireworks Commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
You'll recall yesterday we had a pretty good email from a fellow who said the humans weren't designed to absorb this much information. It comes at us too quickly.
It does.
And Kenny's been pining for some sort of state office where you could seek help for knowing too much.
Yeah.
And Willard Anger was reading some T.S. Eliot, specifically The Rock from 1934. And I won't read the whole thing, but there's one great line in it. Where is the knowledge we have lost in information?
Ooh.
Ooh, huh? Where is the knowledge? Where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? The cycles of heaven in 20 centuries bring us further from God and nearer to dust.
Mm. And to dust we shall return.
Quote another great scholar, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then.
No, I wish I knew now what I...
No.
No.
I wish I didn't
Poor
know now.
Old granddad. Dun, 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 dun. Wish I knew now what I wish I knew now.
I are, you, what, are you having a seizure?
Poor old granddad. We laughed at all his jokes.
Yep.
You know, Penny, what's her name?
Penny.
Peggy Flanagan is our lieutenant governor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was aware.
She had to make it known that she completed her basketball college tournament bracket, and she based all her picks on schools located in states that have abortion.
What a weird thing to do.
So she managed to take something that is fun and enjoyable and a respite from the daily grind of knowing too much, and she just screwed it right
just
into
sat
the
on
ground
it, didn't she?
And just buzzkilled the whole thing.
She's a walking buzzkill. Flashing those eyes at Walsey, I'm convinced she stands off to the side of the desk and she's giving him the big peepers.
I think she's cupping them.
She's
for
flashing
him.
Peepers hey, at him.
Wow.
Oh, it's even better. It's even better. I believe that referred to only the women's bracket. I'm not sure she filled out a men's bracket. Her women's bracket is based on whether the schools are located in a state that protects access to abortion care.
What's she going to do for the guys?
And I don't understand this sentence. By this measurement, it's only fair that Minnesota didn't make the tournament because they'd have been a favorite for the title. I don't understand.
I'll bet you
what that means.
Peggy goes to a family function or a private party. As soon as she arrives, a separate private party breaks out in another part of the house or the property where Peggy isn't allowed. All the fun people gather because she just sucks the fun right out of the room.
I see some mischievous child placing a whoopee cushion under her chair.
Yeah, and then she's just scandalized for the rest of the day.
That's a great job, Peggy, you precious fool. Oh, these people are crazy. God.
They're all nuts.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, Matthew.
Wow.
Shit.
No. I got a good camera angle today. That's
make the call, Matt. Make the call.
I already texted him.
Okay.
You make the call.
What is Pat Mancini up to? For your listeners around the world and other states, Pat Mancini is a famous local restaurateur who has had great success with a place called Mancini's Char House in St. Paul. His dad, Nick, founded it, and Pat and his brother, John, have taken over. And now Pat is apparently hectoring the Capitol architects to reinstall some sort of Italian statue on the grounds of the Capitol, considering that the original Christopher Columbus statue had to be pulled down and put into secret double probation storage.
And who it's being replaced with might surprise you.
Yeah. And so if Pat responds, we'll ask him what he's up to here.
How old is he?
Pat's probably in his 50s.
So not too late to run for office, because we need this guy in public service somehow, somewhere. He is so awesome.
Pat's probably 62, because Johnny's 59.
Perfect age.
He went to school with my brother Paul, and Pat's
older than Johnny.
Older than
John?
Yeah, a couple of years. Yeah. Early 60s.
Well, who does he want to replace Columbus with?
Well, let's wait till we get him on.
Let's
wait till we get him on.
It might surprise some people, but I am fully in favor of Pat's idea.
Rudy Giuliani?
No.
No, not.
Anybody want a job?
He's Italian.
Anybody want a job that pays from $134,141 to its upper limit of $201,212? Anybody looking for a gig?
Yeah, I'll take
anybody
a third.
Need a gig?
I don't want to take a pay cut.
Yeah, I will.
We have a new job posted in the St. Louis Park Schools for the position of assistant superintendent. And the job would require the assistant super to examine the presence and role of whiteness.
Huh. Okay.
I'll do it for you for $133,000.
Hey, I'll do money, it. Don't undercut it.
I'm $132.75.
Yeah.
No. Posted last week on the school's job board, the position of assistant super will receive, I told you the salary, the position will be part of the super's leadership team and will have significant influence in how the school district operates. However, the job description indicates that the role will have a very particular focus. The first sentence of the position summary says, the assistant super proactively, of course, proactively supports the super to create and communicate anti-racist structures and systems, works to interrupt systems of oppression, and serves as a role model for culturally relevant pedagogy. Okay.
Got it.
Well, first I'm going to have to learn what that means before I can apply.
Why don't you people in St. Louis Park go bleep yourself? The school district continues its summary of the position by saying the assistant super must be unwaveringly committed to anti-racist actions and use data to adapt and sustain their efforts towards racial equity to plan, direct, and coordinate action to achieve the mission and strategic objectives. In other words, the taxpayers in St. Louis Park will be on the hook for $200,000 for meaningless BS. Hmm. Just meaningless BS.
Hmm. What do you do when you finally count all the crackers and discover there's a whole lot of white people here, then what do you do?
Well, Kenny, you examine the presence and role of whiteness, and you become open to feedback regarding blind spots, racial blind spots.
I don't know what help me.
These people are mentally disturbed. These people are mentally disturbed. And they're evil, and they're corrupt. They're ideologically corrupt. They're desperate to retain race as an industry. They're desperate to continue to dream up new job titles that fleece the taxpayer. It is pathetic. It's ridiculous, and it's meaningless. It's meaningless. What the hell is that? Is that Patrick?
It's Pat.
Are you
wrong? We just need him for a minute or two.
This is Fox News.
Yeah.
Let me call you and I'll put you on.
Does Patrick know he's going to be? Can I finish the St. Louis Park High School?
Joe, it's all ESG. ESG and DEI are killing this country.
It's the country's over because of that. It's obscene. Remind me to tell you, I watched this. Are you calling him?
I'll Speed Demon. Yeah, I am calling him.
I'll hold my thought.
No, I'm going to have lunch first.
I'll hold my thought.
Well, I think having Pat on the phone figures in nicely with what you're talking about, because we do need a new leader in this country, and I'm not voting for either one of the candidates.
He couldn't possibly take the pay cut. He's got a big operation he's running when he's away from the restaurant.
Slinging hash?
No, he's got some nice things going. He needs that like a
Mancini for president.
Patrick.
Yes. How are you, Joe?
Pat, what are you up to with your, are you hectoring the Capitol Architectural Board for some installation of an Italian figure on the Capitol grounds?
I guess you could say that. I've sat and watched, the unprotected Christopher Columbus get toppled 4 years ago, and kind of pondered as I look at this picture down here at Mancini's of all the Italian Americans in Minnesota that helped to produce that statue. And I said, you know, this spot still sits empty and nobody's done anything.
Right.
Including our Italian community. There's been talk, but nothing's been done. So I guess I kind of jumped in a little bit and I would love to see something progress, and if I have to kind of help lead the charge, I will.
Would you like to break the news on this show who you have in mind for the statue?
Like who would be? You know, I think the vision is still being produced. I'm not a vision guy, but I, you know, there's some great Italian immigrants statues that are, you know, nameless in St. Louis, New York. It's really about recognizing what our community did, or our grandparents and great grandparents did for the state of Minnesota. It's bigger than like naming one person.
I thought you had somebody in mind that might have provided a double whammy.
You did name one person at least.
I really don't want to see an actual person.
What do you want, a map of the country?
No, I think it could be as simple as all the Italian-American names that have came into Minnesota. But with some sort of statue, a figure.
Yeah.
But again, I think as we go down this road, I hate to say it, but who would want, like, for instance, somebody said, oh, your dad would be perfect. Why would we want my dad up there? And 100 years later, they find out, you know, he stepped on somebody's toe, and they start, you know, maligning him for, whatever. I don't think that's... That's really what we're looking for.
About somebody who's already passed those tests and is very popular in the area, in the region?
Yeah, I thought
the region would be the key word.
You named a...
you named someone.
A very famous football coach, did you not? Or is that somebody else?
No, I did not. I did not name anybody.
I thought you were campaigning to put a statue of Vince Lombardi up.
That would be, I think that would be welcome.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would.
He did have him in mind.
I would only do it if he's holding a cassette of pizza in the left hand.
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe a steak tongs in the right, but... No, I think Vince is maybe on the top 10 list.
Yep.
But I can't say exactly where.
This being a serious news program, we're going to have to put you on the spot here, Pat. You are, in fact, denying that you think Vince Lombardi should go on a pedestal at the state capitol. Is that, in fact, true, Mr. Patrick?
Well, I'm kind of like Harry as Truman, you know. If you can't convince him, confuse him. So I'm not like I'm not committing either way.
Right. Well, we're going to follow this.
I can't. Yes, please, because you know, I don't want to offend any of the Lombardi family. But
much to your regret, we have your number, and we'll stay on top of this for you, or not for you, with you. We'll stay on top of this as it proceeds.
Well, I appreciate it.
Why not just your dad? Could we just put your dad?
He just said that he doesn't want 100 years from now. Someone will find out Nick probably ran a red light and hit a one-legged lesbian poet.
What about like Gino Pellucci?
Yeah.
What about Mariucci?
Well, you know, keep throwing those out there. John Mariucci, actually, I think he was from Canada. I don't know that he was from Minnesota.
Sounds Italian.
Sounds Italian.
Or maybe he was Wisconsin. I don't know.
No, he wasn't from Wisconsin.
I know.
All right. All right, we'll stay in touch, Pat.
On the Lombardi, could he be green and yellow? I don't know.
Yes.
What about Saturday Night Live, Father James, what was his name?
Guido Sarducci.
Guido Sarducci. I mean, right there, a man of the cloth. With a cigarette in hand.
Why don't we just get the Columbus statue out of storage?
Well, if we can find him, he's a victim of a crime. He's got a broken nose.
That's right.
They called him out. They kicked him like he was real. I don't know what's going to... That poor damn thing, I don't know where he's going.
He's in double secret probation hiding.
Yeah.
Yes, and probably. Right. Probably will stay there.
Patrick.
We'll trade Vince Lombardi for him.
Yeah. Patrick, thank you. We'll stay in touch. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. That's swinging a miss.
They kicked him like
Kenny, we'll stick to my instincts from now on.
Ooh. Nah, no.
Because you have no bleeping clue.
I'm not sorry. I am not sorry.
Yeah. It was nice to check in with
Pat. It's wonderful stuff, and I wish he could get Columbus back up.
He got some good lines in. Yeah,
they kicked him like he was real.
Kicked him like he was real was the best. Guys,
I'm telling you, when he's at the restaurant, he's the slumped shoulder, walking around guy, making
busy.
Sure everybody's doing
he's
right.
Busy.
But you give him a microphone, or you put him in the Goombas band, and he comes out of his shell.
The Goombas are pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
Say, e-bikes are on sale now at EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake in Burnsville. 20% to 40% off all electric bikes in stock. This stuff on the ground's going away within a week. You'll be riding soon.
Making a call.
At EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. What a great parking lot to do all the test riding so you get exactly the right equipment on your e-bike. Vespa scooters are on sale. Yamahas, Kawasaki's, preseason youth ATVs, Moto Guzzi motorcycles. 10 to 15% off all 2023 models in stock. It's EcoFun Motorsports. What a fun recreational store. It's just west of 35E on 97 in Forest Lake. And down in Burnsville, it's on the Service Road of Life near County Road 42. Great service, helmets, apparel, and just the greatest assortment of outdoor recreational equipment you can find in the area. It's EcoFunMotorsports.com.
It's been pretty difficult for me to keep up with all of the responses from all of you GLers that have reached out and booked your appointment with Linda Keller and Keller Tax Services. I got to tell you, it's really awesome to see that she's helping so many GLers both in the great state of Minnesota and all across the country, because that's what she does. She can help you if you don't even live here in the state of Minnesota because you made the smart decision to move anyway. KellerTaxService.com, that is her website. If you go online, you can book your appointment right there. But here's the other thing that's pretty neat about her website. She keeps up to date tax information right there on her website. So whether you're looking to maybe do some personal tax services, a business tax services, you single, individually, whatever, it doesn't matter. She handles all types of returns for all types of people, both, like I said, in Minnesota and outstate. And oh, by the way, she does still offer those Saturday appointments because we're getting down to crunch time here, just a few weeks left before tax deadline day. So go online, book your appointment at KellerTaxService.com, and please do me a favor and make sure you tell Linda that you heard about it right here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Soucheray.
it's not the end of the world. It's the end of the world if your, I would say your heating unit goes out. That's really bad. So what you want to do is go to welterheating.com. Welterheating.com is the place, the only place in the Twin Cities that you can get the excellent certified service and 120 years experience. Yes, 120 years, four generations. And again, right now, yeah, it's cool. The snow is flying. And if your heating unit is making funny noises, do not leave that to chance. Go with the certified techs at Welter Heating, welterheating.com. A human being will answer the phone if you call right now, 612-825-6867. Poke around their website, because on their website they have a blog that answers common questions that you may have. And that way, they don't have to come out and fix your unit, if you know what I mean. Air conditioning, yeah, it might be a little tough today to work on it, but in the spring, before it gets to those July and August temperatures, you're going to want to make sure that is running properly. Air purification as well. 612-825-6867. Four generations serving the metro area with certified techs and just a great common sense garage logic family. Rick and the gang at welterheating.com. Today, you'd want to heat up your shelter with Ray N. Welter.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
A sad story out of New York where a 31-year-old copper was murdered making a traffic stop in Queens. And the two thugs had a combined... Well, one of the thugs had reportedly had 21 previous arrests and walked free in 2021. The other was arrested last April on gun charges but cut loose. The police officer's name is Jonathan Diller, 31. He and his partner pulled over Lindy Jones, 41, and Guy Rivera, 34, around 6 o'clock yesterday. The officers asked Rivera to exit his gray Kia, maybe that was stolen, which was stationary in front of a bus stop. He was given a lawful order numerous times to step out of the car, and he refused, said NYPD Chief of Detective Joseph Kenny. Police indicated that when Diller approached the vehicle, Rivera, seated in the passenger seat, brandished a firearm, then took aim. The suspect opened fire, striking Diller beneath his bullet-resistant vest. I suppose Mary would have read him a little golden book about heavy earth-moving equipment. These people are out on the street. They shouldn't be.
Well, you brought up Mary, and she would like to see people like this stay out on the street.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, this is New York, where these thugs have been cut loose numerous times. Is Mary part of an organized effort to ruin law enforcement in the country, or does she just have a unique ideology that is specific to her?
Yes and yes, but I would replace the word unique with maybe bizarre.
Well, who was letting these people out? Right. Jones was arrested last April, but swiftly set loose. He reportedly has 14 priors and was convicted of attempted murder and robbery in 2003. Nothing much seems to hold these fellows. We have quotes here from the mayor of New York, who is Eric Adams, who said, April of 2023, Adams said, less than a year, a gun charge, and he's back on the street. This is what you call not a crime problem, a recidivist problem. Some bad people doing bad things to good people. Less than a year, and he's back on the streets with another gun. Well, you in your district or a city attorney's office, who is running things, Mayor Adams? Who are these people? Who are these people in what is seemingly a concerted effort to not hold bad guys in jail? And then you got these two-bit celebrities in L.A. who think they've done something virtuous by creating bail money to get people sprung as quickly as possible. And they just go back out and murder cops or murder your neighbor or your aunt. It's just insanity.
Wasn't that a nationwide Soros campaign?
Yes, for county and district attorneys.
Yeah. And he's had an effect in almost every state in the union with that money.
Yeah, I don't know if Mary a Soros attorney? I don't know.
Oh, it'd be safe to assume that she probably is.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, though, obviously.
We have a story of a Minnesota House representative, Samantha Spencer-Mira from Diversityville, who wishes to make going topless completely legal. She does not want to consider exposed breasts to be indecent exposure. And she's citing a woman who got 90 days in jail for doing just such a thing. And Spencer-Mira says that, to me, seems wrong, particularly now as we as a society are thinking differently about gender and gender identity. Well, no, we're really not, Spencer-Mira. You are, but a lot of people aren't thinking any differently about gender and gender identity than they have for years. So, but she thinks the law that would cite exposed breasts for indecent exposure is antiquated. She's a Democrat from Minneapolis. She doesn't think her hearing will get... She doesn't think her proposal will get a hearing this year, but she hopes it will start a broader conversation about what's allowed as society's understanding of gender identity shifts, and hopes it could get a hearing in future sessions. She noted that the conversation about legalizing exposed breasts was reinvigorated following a Star Tribune article about Eloisa Plancart, who was sentenced to 90 days in jail after she was arrested in Rochester in 2021 for walking around a convenience store parking lot with her breasts exposed.
And she just lost an appeal last month, and that's why it was in the news again.
And she argued that, well, men are not charged if their chests are exposed. And the Minnesota Court of Appeals voted 2-1 to uphold her conviction. Two male judges voted to uphold the conviction. The dissenting judge was a woman. As it stands, Minnesota laws are vague about what counts as indecent exposure. This is important. It's defined as when someone willfully and lewdly exposes the person's body or the private parts thereof. But the statute never specifies what counts as private parts. It provides an exception to mothers who are breastfeeding. Now, here's what's going to happen. Let's reflect on what we said yesterday regarding the transgender fellows who work in security for the United States, and how they've been, we're supposed to acknowledge and embrace their cross-dressing and what have you, and they maintain this, sharpens their skills. And I think what'll happen is, I think we'll reach a point where there will be no such thing as lewdness, because you won't be able to define it.
How ironic that you said that, because I actually wrote down, please define lewdly, which is a word in the existing bill, or the existing law, excuse me. What is your definition of lewdly? Are you maybe twirling your nips a little bit? Are you cupping them, making them wink? I don't understand the word lewdly. What is lewdly?
Without helping you by defining lewdly, what I would say is that it's not going to be worth thinking about. There won't be anything to even worry about what is lewd or not. Getting back to yesterday, what good is an organization? What good is civility? What good are rules, laws, statutes? What good are they if everyone gets to make up exactly what they want to do, how they want to dress, how they identify themselves, what they want to wear or don't wear? What is the point of an organized society? What's the point? And I think, I don't know that Spencer-Mura has these thoughts in mind, but she's reflecting these thoughts, whether she knows it or not, because how would you draw the line on toplessness? Would she allow toplessness if mom goes to Target? Can she be topless?
Inside or outside?
Inside. Inside.
No.
Where are you going to draw? Why are you drawing the line?
Because I think
she should be topless inside Target.
Well, you're a hippie. No shoes, no shirt, no service. You keep both men and women keep your clothes on in the store.
How long will that last?
If you're walking down Nicollet Mall, let them fly. Let them go.
Well, then they better have some clothing with them in the event they enter a store.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, I doubt that would be seriously enforced.
What's the reason that we want to show our breasts?
Because men don't have to wear a shirt.
Well, men don't have big floppers flopping around.
Some do.
I'm pro-breast, by the way. Coming out as pro-breast, but I don't know if we need to see that Nicollet Mall.
There's a larger fascination here, and that is a part of this complete breakdown of anything that resembles decorum. Anything that resembles decorum is frowned upon as being patriarchal or invented out of whole cloth or merely an affectation of old white powdered wig people who put the country together. You have no right to tell me how I can look or what gender I choose to be on this particular day, and on and on and on and on. Now here comes a willing legislator to pitch in and help row the boat. Let's not have any toplessness. Okay.
It's another layer is what it is that they're peeling away at.
Her whole goal and objective here has everything to do with the trans community and nothing to do with the female gender, real girls, real women going topless. Let's face it. She's just using that gal in Rochester who lost her appeal as an excuse.
So you think maybe the trans population wants to walk? That's a good point, Kenny.
And she admits it, right? Joe read it in the first or the second paragraph there, what her real objective is. No legislator anywhere is going to go try to change the law due to one arrest. The previous arrest before this and the one that was mentioned in the appeals goes back to 2016. When it was upheld that a woman in a Minneapolis park could not be.
No, that was 1986.
Oh, goes that far back? 86?
1986 decision that has withstood the test of time. It was a woman sunbathing in a Minneapolis park. But what this woman is saying, Spencer-Mura, is particularly now as a society are thinking differently about gender and gender identity, the law is antiquated. That's where I'm resting my hypothesizing on that sentence, those sentences.
Well, then I agree with her.
Okay, you may certainly agree with her, but what I'm telling you is this is not the beginning of anything. This is the beginning of something, the end of which we have no idea.
Yeah, what she's doing here is she's sparking the flame, because there is no, I'm not hearing or seeing any big, great hue and cry from the women of this state to say we want to go topless.
Right.
It doesn't exist. Nobody cares. So what you're doing is you're either wasting our time with this nonsense, or there's an agenda, and it has to do with the transgender
people. There's an agenda.
Yeah.
Now, do you think in America 60 years ago, some rap singer could get away with dragging a woman around on a leash with no clothes on, like Kanye West does now?
No.
How far back would you have to go before that would have been met with outrage? Because it certainly isn't met with outrage today.
Not so far back.
It isn't met with outrage at all. He dresses her in carpet remnants and pieces of dental floss, and she goes around with her leash on.
Who do we want to go away for? Sean Diddy Combs or what's his name?
Well, you mentioned Sean Combs. I wonder if he'll be prosecuted like Jeffrey Epstein.
Whenever.
That's a good question.
What are the folks that like to dress up as like beavers and squirrels?
Furries?
And furries. Yeah, whenever furries came into being is the same time that...
the drawbridge was opened or was lowered?
That's my theory.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
My theory is that this country went to hell, started to go downhill rapidly the minute dogs were put on leashes. And I mean it entirely seriously. Prior to that, all dogs were good. No dogs were neurotic. And people knew how to deal with each other. And now it's a bleep show.
In your circle, let's just go in all of our circle. Think of all the women we know, we live with, related to us, friends, family, coworkers. How many of them are screaming out saying, I really need to be topless outside. I really want to work in my garden topless.
Well, that could be an age thing because many of the women in my circle are wearing those brassieres that say, I need help in aisle 5. You know, they got that giant canvas hookup going, I don't really think they're very interested in taking it off.
You all keep them from flopping.
Yeah, no, it's just that, you know, it's canvas. It's a canvas material.
They use a come along to get it.
Yeah, they got a ratchet and
power winch.
Could you help me with these 2x4s, please?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, maybe we're the wrong circle.
I don't know any women pining to take advantage of a new law. I don't know anyone personally.
You know, maybe a beach, a park, whatever. Sure, you're laying out, you're getting some sun, but just, I don't know. I'm just not hearing. I'm not hearing the hue and cry.
Yeah.
All I'm getting out of this story is the reason she did it. This was a 2021 case that she was talking about, Joe.
Yep.
Right. The but it's a 1986 case that's referred to.
But yep. 90 days in jail, I think is ridiculous.
Okay, I'm not going to argue.
Absolutely.
I think it is, too. I think it is, too.
So if we can get that changed, I don't care what
they
do.
Okay, where was she walking?
She was walking in Rochester in a convenience store parking lot.
Well, but there's more to the story. I mean, wasn't she all lit up on meth or something?
Was she? I don't know.
Did she fall out of a speeding cab?
There's more to the story. I just don't remember the specifics.
I don't know. There's nothing else in this story about that.
Just mark the words of your old fireworks commissioner.
Lay it down, bro.
There's far more to this than meets the eye. There is a... this has the underpinnings of a push, however unknowingly, by Spencer Dash Mira. This has a push to the destruction of all norms. What is transgenderism if not a destruction of a norm?
Yeah,
okay. But where do you go with this? Society is...
Right to the Section 8.
They're being more accepting. Yeah, Klinger would have
had Section. Now you're sort of kind of, and I know you're not, but you're coming off as being anti-transgender.
Be trans all you want. I don't care. But we don't need a whole separate rule book for you. They're not special.
Yeah, and you pretty much have to say that every time you bring up the topic, just so the haters realize... We don't give a rip what you do. But I am surprised that you think the lady should be topless in Target.
If you're going to be topless, let's go.
That's a great marketing plan for some of these smaller Targets.
Yeah.
Topless Target.
I can't imagine.
Pop the tarp when you get into Target.
Remember that,
I can't imagine the Target clientele. You
remember
that would
in Maine, of all places, there was a coffee shop where the baristas were topless.
I sure am.
And it caught a lot of flack or something. I think they survived any challenge. Yeah. I think they're allowed to be topless.
That's an unnecessary risk if you got, you
could burn yourself.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Some of them got the long heels, you know.
There was, and I don't know if it's still there, but in Mankato, I believe, they have a topless maid service. You can have a maid come clean your house topless. You can't, okay. There's no contact. You cannot have physical contact, but they can clean your house topless.
Yates and I hired a topless maid in the late 80s to clean up the station during one of our Saturday broadcasts. She walked around for 2 hours with a feather duster and nothing on.
Didn't clean anything.
Not a thing.
Wave the feather duster.
It was dirtier when she left than when she arrived.
I think she lit a couple of heaters for me.
She moved dust around. Why don't we come back with our newsman, Rook?
We can do that.
We'll come back with our newsman, John.
I'll be thinking about maids. I don't know if I can read news.
You.
You know, the investment game can be awfully tricky, especially in these volatile times. And that's why you need the best and also somebody that you can trust. And that's why I rely on Josh Arnold. We know him as Mr. Money Talk around these parts, and he's here for you. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute, no obligation consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. 952-925-5608. Josh has been at this a long time with a track record of success, and he's here to help you. So give him a call today. No obligation. That's right. No obligation. It's absolutely free. 952-925-5608. And tell him you heard about him here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser. Are we doing it?
Here's a guy that works for tips.
There you are.
Joe Suchere. He used to work for a stripping cleaning company, but he lost his shirt. Here's Joe Suchere.
You got to hit up the newly relaunched MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com website. You, like me, will learn a whole lot more than we ever knew about our guy Rich. He's the owner. And his 40 years of industry experience. If you have any need at all for any kind of bizarre, weird, related situation you have with any kind of lock or key, Rich at Maple Grove Lock and Safe is the solution. Maybe you've got some handcuffs. Maybe somebody you know is locked in those handcuffs. I bet Rich could help you out. And as far as safes go, Rich carries the best in the country, the Liberty Safe. Seems like there's always a sale going on with the Liberty lineup. And right now you can save up to $710 on the Fat Boy Junior Extreme and $400 on the Colonial 23. This sale runs through the 8th of April. The Liberty, of course, made right here in the United States. Best warranty in the business, fully transferable. Fire protection, A1, best selection. There's a Liberty safe for every budget and every need. GLers, you guys, you gals, you always get a little something extra. And if you need to give a gift, here's a great idea. 15% off all quick. 15% off all small, quick combo and key vaults. These things they're all, I think, less than $500, so that's a great deal. Maple Grove Lock and Safe, they're at 6901 East Fish Lake Road in Maple Grove, and that fancy new website, of course, MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com.
So, Kenny, if you call Rick and you say,
I am stuck in a pair of handcuffs.
He can probably get you out.
He'd help you.
He can probably
I'm going to guess you'll get charged a little something extra for the house call. But I know he could get you out.
Okay, good.
Here's John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This news is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Overtime payments within the Minneapolis Police Department have quadrupled in the past 4 years as the city's police force continues to shrink. According to Minneapolis police data, overtime reached $21.1 million in 2023. Just 2019, the overtime total was $5.2 million. A figure that has steadily increased every year since then. Minneapolis City Council President Elliot Payne says MPD has faced serious staffing challenges. It's a driving force, he said, behind the increase. MPD, according to city records, budgeted only $8.6 million for overtime in 2023. He said that's more concerning to him than the overall increase. He said, I think the bigger surprise is we may not have budgeted at the level knowing fully well what our need might be. Payne also said the city agreed with the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis to pay for critical staffing overtime, which is double time in pay rather than the usual time and a half for overtime. He said the current pace of overtime spending is not something the city or police could keep up with in the long run. Governor Walz set to give the 2024 State of the State address tonight. 7 o'clock, Governor Walz will deliver the address at the new Owatonna High School in Owatonna. The speech comes a week after Walz proposed his plan for the 2024 supplemental budget. The governor is expected to focus on topics like safe communities, clean drinking water, abortion, gun rights, and support for children and families. If you would like to watch the address, our friends at 5 Eyewitness News will stream the State of the State address at 7 p.m. That's at kstp.com.
I don't think I'm going to. Anybody going to watch it?
No.
I don't think I'm going to make it.
Yeah, I try not to get mad after 3 p.m. every day.
Yeah.
Well, good. Now I know when to call you. horrible story from Pine City. A man there will spend up to 29 years in federal prison for soliciting hundreds of sexually explicit images from child victims. In court documents, Assistant U.S. Attorney Hillary Taylor wrote that 27-year-old Caleb Vincent McLaughlin lied about his age and used multiple social media platforms to contact hundreds of girls between the ages of 11 and 17 and used the scheme to successfully groom and rape minor victims for years. Taylor wrote that this was by far one of the worst online and hands-on child exploitation cases the district has seen. McLaughlin pleaded guilty in October to producing, receiving, and distributing child pornography and coercion and enticement of a minor. Investigators identified more than 24 victims and are tracking down others from more than 200 McLaughlin solicited between 2019 and mid-2023. Authorities said McLaughlin, who worked as a mobile auto mechanic, bragged about raping 11 and 12-year-old girls and kept a predator kit in his truck that he stocked with flavored alcohol. McLaughlin systematically broke down minor victims, according to Taylor. Judge Patrick also ordered that McLaughlin spend 12 years on supervised release in addition to the 29-year sentence.
He only got 29 years, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lock him in a hole for the rest of his life.
How about death penalty?
How about something? Turn him loose in a field of wolves.
What about like a prison-administered death penalty?
Yeah.
Maybe this problem will take care of itself in prison.
Yeah, I think it might.
Yeah.
One of the largest wine distributors in the country is no longer choosing Eagan to build a facility. Johnson Brothers Liquor Company had planned to redevelop a former Blue Cross Blue Shield campus in that area, but they have now withdrawn their application. In recent months, the plan received a lot of pushback from neighbors who did not want the manufacturing plant there to begin with. Kevin Crary's an Eagan resident. He chose his house for a reason, he says. He explained he was sold on the quiet corner of the city with a scenic view of the Twin Cities. He said it's peaceful. We have big windows, and having trucks going by there all the time would not have been great for that. Neighbors believe those trucks would have come from a distribution facility once planned for the property across the street, but those plans fell through. In December, the Eagan City Council approved a land use proposal so that Johnson Brothers Liquor could redevelop the former campus. Dozens of neighbors, though, protested, citing too much traffic, noise, and air pollution, and declining property values. Well, Johnson Brothers has now pulled the plug, saying in a statement, "We determined the site is not the best fit to meet the anticipated future needs of our company. We'll continue to explore other options around the metro, including the possibility of remaining in St. Paul."
What about, I know of a 7-mile strip of beachfront property in the lovely city of Duluth.
By the way, this might come up the next time you talk to Kathy. There already is an airport on that stretch. It's called Sky Harbor. It's at the end there.
But we can't put 777s down.
That's true. We have to do some expansion.
Yeah.
Because when is your next meeting with her? Is it at the end of this week?
We're going to have families from all over the Middle East flying in on their private 777s, so we have to accommodate them.
All right.
We should be in touch later this afternoon. Is there some question you would like to
Just remember that to keep us informed.
Will you let her know from me personally that I feel very sad that she was going to do such a kind gesture, build some family homes for family members and those things, and now those people are basically going to be homeless.
We have told her that, and
okay, good.
We're working on some plans. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised when we finally go public.
Okay. I have that vibe, too. I think it can only turn out for the best.
She's a GLer.
Yeah,
well, you know, she's a GLer.
So. Yeah. I think so.
I mean, a homeless Cargill is probably the worst type of Cargill.
Matthew, she's one of us.
Okay.
She's one of us.
I'm on it.
Show meeting here, Rook. Sorry, I didn't ask beforehand. Do we want to take a break in the middle of the news, or shall I just continue?
No, you can continue on, Johnny.
All right. In national, international stories, the big one, of course, a major bridge collapsed in Baltimore on Tuesday morning after it was hit by a container ship, sending several vehicles into the water, prompting an intense search for survivors and throwing the future of a key shipping port into question. An unknown number of workers actually were on the bridge, even though it was 1:30 a.m. They were filling potholes. Emergency responders said they were looking for at least six more people who were missing. It was a larger number earlier, but now they say it's six. Two people were rescued from the water after the ship hit a pillar supporting part of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which carries Interstate 695 over the Patapsco River, southeast of the Baltimore metropolitan area. One person rescued from the water was in good condition, refusing treatment. The other seriously injured, treated in a trauma center. Underwater drones, as well as sonar and infrared surveillance tools, had confirmed there were several cars in the river. Maryland Governor Wes Moore said he had declared a state of emergency following the bridge collapse and was working to deploy federal resources. The incident captured in video, which showed smoke billowing from the boat as the bridge and the road it held tumbled into the river. The live stream showed cars and trucks on the bridge just before the collision. The boat did not sink. Its lights remained on and nobody on the boat was hurt. Officials have confirmed an early warning from the ship allowed them to close the bridge to more traffic. The ship had issued a mayday after reporting a propulsion problem shortly after pulling out of the harbor.
The bridge is not far from the inner harbor. It's still very inside. It's a long way from the open sea. And if you were on that bridge in your car last night at 1:30, not the hour.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I thought you were going to blame the victims for being out that late.
No.
That thing lost power twice. So it's like trying to put a pontoon on a lift.
Sounds like it was poorly maintained.
Yeah.
Homeland Security agents.
Hold on, John. What were you thinking when you saw the footage, Such? I know you might have had some issues. I have issues with that Mackinac Bridge in the UP. I went over that once, and I'm really sorry.
I love bridges. I think I might even have been over this bridge. I thought, was that bridge in such terrible shape that it collapsed that easily? But no, that was an untold tonnage that hit that pillar.
Yeah, that was
pillar.
Quite the force.
I mean,
it took about 5 seconds, and that thing was fully in the...
The tonnage earlier, but I can't recall it.
There's a bridge along the coast of Washington on the north side of the state where I just stopped and turned around. I said, nope, I'm not. We're done. We're not going any further north. Yeah. Not doing it.
There, when I was growing up, there was a metal bridge across the Missouri between Bismarck and Mandan, and
it was about 10 feet off the ground.
No, it was very high.
Yeah,
and I continuously had nightmares that I would be on that bridge, and the bridge all of a sudden half wasn't there. That never happened.
Right. It will, though. It will eventually. Oh, they tore it down.
They tore it down and they put up a concrete bridge,
a real one.
So there's now two concrete bridges over the Missouri between Bismarck.
This baby went down like an erector set.
Yeah,
quick.
It did.
Such, have you done the Golden Gate?
Oh, yeah.
I would never, ever do that. I don't even like the Brooklyn Bridge. I'd prefer the tunnel. Let's use the tunnel.
The only fear you might have about the Golden Gate is I don't want to be in the middle of it when the big quake hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would not be good. Homeland Security agents, Joe, you talked a bit about this story, conducted searches of Holmby Hills and Miami mansions owned by Sean Diddy Combs yesterday, part of a federal inquiry into sex trafficking allegations involving the hip-hop and liquor mogul. A 17,000-square-foot mansion where Combs debuted his last album a year ago was flooded with Homeland Security investigation agents who served a search warrant and gathered evidence on behalf of an investigation being run by the prosecutors in the Southern District of New York, according to law enforcement officials familiar with the inquiry. A hip-hop star-turned-entrepreneur, Combs has been the focus of sexual assault and sex trafficking allegations in the last year. The raid is the latest and most serious threat to his lifestyle. Four female plaintiffs so far have filed civil lawsuits against Combs, accusing him of rape, sex trafficking a minor, assault, and a litany of other alleged abuses. Combs is 54. He amassed his fortune first as a hip-hop producer, artist, and founder of Bad Boy Entertainment, the label that launched the careers of the late Notorious B.I.G., among others. He later added lucrative fashion and liquor companies to his ventures. His former girlfriend, Cassandra Ventura, the singer known as Cassie, accused him of rape and repeated physical assaults and said he forced her to have sex with male prostitutes in front of him. Joy Dickerson-Neal accused Combs in a suit of drugging and raping her in 1991, recording the attack, and then distributing the footage without her consent. Lisa Gardner filed a third suit in which she claimed Combs and guy singer Aaron Hall sexually assaulted her. Another lawsuit alleges Combs and former Bad Boy label rep Harvey Pierre gang raped and sex trafficked a 17-year-old girl. In her lawsuit, the former girlfriend Ventura alleges that Combs told her in 2012 he was going to blow up the car of rap artist Kid Cudi, suspecting that Ventura and Cudi were dating. The suit alleges around that time, Cudi's car exploded in his driveway. Cudi told the New York Times yesterday through his publicist, all of that is true.
What do you think Beyonce thinks of this? Isn't he married to Beyonce?
No, you got the wrong.
Well, who am I thinking of?
Jay-Z.
Oh, Jay-Z. Yeah, never mind.
If you're
Jay-Z's as arrogant, though.
Right, I have no idea.
If you're Jay-Z's lawyer and you're listening, please just ignore the last 20 seconds of the show.
Does P. Diddy hang out with the dog collar guy that was married to Kim Kardashian?
I don't know. Which dog collar? Drake?
No.
I can't keep these guys straight.
Wasn't that Sean Puffy Combs?
No, you brought him up earlier in the show.
Oh. The crazy one, the one up with Taylor Swift.
Kanye West?
Kanye West.
Yeah, are they tight? Are they?
I have no idea.
I would imagine they probably chat every once in a while.
I don't think there's anything better than four guys in their 50s, 60s, and 70s talking about hip-hop stars. Yeah. I think that's...
That's pretty good. I love that beat, man. Yep.
If it ain't Snoop, I don't know anything about it. I know a little Dre.
Snoop is starting to look like a canonized saint compared to some of these idiots.
Gangstar, I know those guys. I know a few acts, not a lot.
Justice Department officials said reports of widespread threats against officials running the 2020 and 2022 elections have resulted in charges against about 20 people, more than a half dozen receiving sentences between 1 and 3.5 years. But the federal officials said at a news conference in Arizona yesterday, it remains to be seen if these stiff sentences will serve as a deterrent to would-be criminals in future election cycles. When Donald Trump lost the 2020 election and claimed that Joe Biden wasn't the true winner because of widespread voter fraud, election workers across the country, from rank-and-file employees who helped process ballots to top state officials, came under attack. In June 2021, Attorney General Merrick Garland launched the Election Threats Task Force to combat violent threats facing election workers. That's when the arrest started, with an outsized number of them involving Arizona.
Your dolly, the container ship, gross tonnage is listed at 95,128.
Yeah, but is that empty?
That I don't know. The summer dead weight is 116,851.
That's probably enough to knock a bridge down.
Yeah. A lot. Yeah, I don't know. I can't. I've no way to to know.
I love that part of the country. A lot of water.
Baltimore. Yeah, that bridge is a big loss.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch The Wire, Joe? We had this conversation.
I did not.
The second season was all set on the docks of Baltimore. Oh, the entire season. Yeah, it was very. Very interesting. The Supreme Court this morning seemed unlikely to limit access to mifepristone, a key medication used in more than 60% of U.S. abortions and first approved more than 2 decades ago. A majority of justices from across the ideological spectrum expressed skepticism that the anti-abortion doctors challenging the government's loosening of regulations have sufficient legal grounds or standing to bring that lawsuit. In another case, the Supreme Court declined to hear the case of a former Kentucky high school student and supporter of Donald Trump, who said he'd been the victim of cancel culture after a video of his interaction with an elderly Native American man went viral in 2019. We talked about Nicholas Sandman before. This decision leaves in place a lower court's dismissal of the massive libel lawsuit filed by Sandman against Gannett, the parent company of USA Today, and other media organizations. Sandman argued he was defamed by their reports of his confrontation with Native American rights activist Nathan Phillips at the Lincoln Memorial in January of 2019. 19. Sandman filed lawsuits against 8 media organizations, including the New York Times, ABC News, CBS News, Rolling Stone Magazine, and others. He was seeking a combined $1.25 billion for their coverage of the event. Federal judge had dismissed the suit in 2022. The Cincinnati-based 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the judge's dismissal, and now the Supreme Court also did not accept the
case. So this kid never ended up with a dime?
No, he got money from, he settled with CNN, CNN, NBC, and one other company. For they were smaller amounts, though. I think they were around $30,000, something like that.
You know what that is? That's nothing. Nothing.
And Walmart, well, they didn't think this one through. Walmart has agreed to pay $70,000 to settle a disability discrimination lawsuit filed after an employee with a prosthetic leg was denied work accommodations. Initially, when Luis Quinones was hired by Walmart in Aiken, he was permitted to use one of the store's electric carts to perform some of his job duties, like stocking shelves. However, less than a year into the job, Quinones was told carts were for customers only, and he was no longer allowed to use one. He was denied a reasonable alternative to accommodate his disability, according to his lawsuit, and told he would need to change positions or buy his own electric cart. When he said he couldn't buy and transport his own cart, Walmart placed him on indefinite unpaid leave. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed a lawsuit against Walmart for violating the Americans with Disabilities Act. In addition to paying the settlement, Walmart offered Quinones a job at one of its locations in South Carolina. Employees at the Aiken store will also be required to conduct annual training and submit compliance reports to the EEOC.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Say, my garage door guys, the whole family. We got a great note yesterday from Stacy, the GL geologist, who was so pleased when Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in Western Wisconsin answered her plea for help on a Sunday. They came right out, got everything taken care of. The beauty of Precision Garage Door is they try to get everything done on that first visit, and they keep you informed. And by everything, I mean they cover everything. Springs and the rollers and the openers and the lights and everything you need to keep that garage door functioning perfectly. Precision Garage Door will take care of. Great people, equal opportunity employer. Not a bad place to look for a job either. And those employees stay because they appreciate the way they're compensated, and they appreciate the great work. You can find out more at precisiondoormn.com. That's precisiondoormn.com. Or better yet, put this number in your contacts.
Lay it down,
bro. See, Stacy heard me say the number. She probably had it in her contacts, and bing, bang, boom. Right, she's on the phone on a Sunday, and off they go.
Boom.
612-263-6985. Precision Door MN.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
You guys want a review of Williams Band concert? Oh, it's even better than that. They played the Celine Dion song.
Oh my God. Bang my head.
What? Yeah.
I see you.
Oh my God. What does he play? The triangle? Does he play the triangle?
Trumpet. Oh. Look at him right there.
Fat Mo! That's Chuck Mangione.
That's when band teachers are insane.
Kenny, it's funny you say that. I played golf with a guy, and he was a band teacher, and he was nuts.
Yeah.
And every band teacher I've ever met is crazy. They've been driven crazy.
Because they've been having to listen
they've been
to
hearing
that.
This 5 years.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Soucheray.
Even with the snow, landscape season will fire up earlier than usual this year. So if you've been thinking about it, maybe tossing around a few ideas in that old idea box of yours, get on the web, get on to professionalturf.com. They are a certified landscape designer, certified by the Minnesota Nursery Landscape Association, and they can work with you to design your project using, well, I call it voodoo. They call it digital photography and landscape imaging software, which means you can see your completed project before a shovel goes into the ground. They specialize in all sorts of landscape design, basically anything you can dream up, installation of trees, shrubs, perennials, rock and sod, anything you can think of, including fountains and pools, that whole deal. No problem. They do it all the time. Schedule a free in-person landscape design estimate and check out all their previous work. It's right there on the website, professionalturf.com. Let the pros design and install your outdoor dream. You'll absolutely love it. And you know what else? It's going to drive the value of your property up, and that's a good thing. Schedule that estimate right now. It's at professionalturf.com.
Joe, may I insert one thing here for you? We talked about that case with the topless woman and the 2021 case where the woman was arrested in the parking lot.
Yeah,
a lawyer by the name of Roger Mayer sent me this note saying he looked up the case and said she has a long criminal history in the above case. She was also charged with felony drug possession. Mm-hmm. In my well-informed opinion, she pled to the lesser charge and trade for a stay of adjudication on the felony with 90 days in jail, as opposed to a much lengthier sentence that she would have gotten for drugs. So
I see.
Kenny alluded to that also.
And then one of our finest takes that and hinges a whole prospective bill on it.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be over someday, Joe? No.
It's over, isn't it?
When it's over. We're done.
Minnesota Republicans and faith leaders are seeking a change in the state's Human Rights Act.
What are we doing?
To ensure that faith groups and private schools may discriminate against transgender persons in hiring decisions. State law already allows a religious exemption from anti-discrimination laws when it comes to sexual orientation. But the DFL majority last session expanded the Human Rights Act to prohibit discrimination based on gender identity without creating an exemption for faith organizations. So right now, according to the state's Human Rights Act, you don't get to, if a transgender wants a job in your Catholic school or a Lutheran private school or whatever, you can't discriminate against them. Now Minnesota GOP and faith leaders are asking for a religious exemption, saying churches and faith-based schools could be sued if they don't hire transgender employees under the new language. Faith groups currently have a religious exemption when it comes to sexual orientation. What the Democrats are saying to the religious people is, go bleep yourself. Hmm. You're going to have to hire these people. We're not cutting you any slack at all.
You know, you should be kind of happy. Well, I'm looking at the news, and right now the Telegraph just has, Taliban leader says women will be stoned to death in public. You got it pretty good in this country.
I think so.
You're not getting stoned. You know, in this country, you can't get stoned, but it means something different. But
what if they're truly not qualified, though, Joe?
Well, that would be always my concern. What if it was a really dumb transgender person?
What if the qualifications, you have to type 80 words a minute, and you're coming in at around 32?
Right. I don't know what to tell you. Harry Niska, he's a Republican from Ramsey. Faith communities, before the law was changed, had a clear religious exemption for anything related to sexual orientation, and the concept of gender identity was subsumed within it, said Niska. Faith communities were clear that, for example, the hiring of ministers, hiring of teachers or other school staffs at their schools, that they were completely free to do that in accordance with their faith. Okay, Kenny said, what if the transgender person is terribly incompetent? But see, where the transgender people would be additionally guarded here is the equity movement. Well, you don't have enough transgender people on your staff here at the Archdiocese. Mm. You got to hire Fred, who used to be Nancy.
Yeah,
okay,
but
Fred's an idiot.
Yeah, Fred can't type.
Yeah, so why do I have to hire him? He's an idiot. Well, for equity reasons, you have to hire him because he's transgender. And we have to have equity. We have to have diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah, but he can't type with those long nails. Country. He's got those long extended nails.
Can't type worth a bleep.
Right.
Never mind. Who cares? I mean, I do care, but it's such an endless, tawdry fight with these DFLers. They're not the DFLers of the old folks in the Twin Cities who had a picture of JFK on that knotty pine rec room.
That's what they say anyway.
And what do we have here? Oh, you got your incompetent fools in Minneapolis who screwed up life for Uber and Lyft. And Minneapolis could become the, and St. Paul, is it St. Paul too? Or just Minneapolis?
Wasn't it the metro? I thought it was the metro area.
It was the metro.
It was the city council that had made the decision, but Uber and Lyft are saying the whole metro, they're gonna
knock out.
So yeah. So Minneapolis council members who have no competence with business, finances, anything, they ruin the business for Uber and Lyft. But now they want to take $150,000 of Minneapolis tax money and finance new rideshare companies that apparently will develop out of whole cloth. So it's windmilling of a sort. They think that they hope new companies will replace Uber and Lyft. See, new companies would replace Uber and Lyft if they could find it affordable. It has nothing to do with hope. These people are hopeless. The city council of Minneapolis is, I'm going to use the word, it's literally worthless. Mm. They're not competent people.
Foghorn that.
They're professional activists who've never worked. You may foghorn that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
And then the Minneapolis, well, if Garofalo's correct, let's say a new rideshare company springs up. And they're going to comply with these city ordinances and the minimum wage that the council members came up with.
Yep.
Well, who can afford to take a ride? Who's going to ride in the damn thing?
Ain't gonna ride.
I would be down to being one of the pioneers and starting. I've already come up with a name, and it's just going to be a one-truck fleet, and the name is Hop in the Box. You're not going to ride in the cab.
No, get in the box.
Just hop in the box, and I'll get you close.
What do these people think? They created an untenable situation, but then they hope that new people coming along won't find it untenable. Well, who's going to ride with you if it's going to cost you $50 to go 3 miles?
Doesn't this remind you of the little kids around your house that play, let's play house today?
Yeah.
And these people, let's play city council.
Right.
They're like a bunch of dumb, innocent kids.
Okay, John, let's do some math like Garofalo did. The measure that passed the city council earlier this month, and that's the one that causes Uber and Lyft to say, see you later, requires drivers to receive $1.40 per mile, 51 cents per minute. Okay, now let's say you went 10 miles. So what's 10 times $1.40?
That'd be $11.40.
All right, and then Let's say traffic's heavy. Let's say the 10 miles took, how long do you think the 10 miles might take you?
Where are we, Minneapolis?
Yeah.
15 minutes.
No.
Okay, what's 15 times 51?
That'd be 44.47.
Add that to the 11.40.
I got 26.01.
Wait, that can't be right. Yeah, I got the right number.
I got 26.01.
$26 is too much for a 10-minute ride.
Plus $11.40. No, we're not done yet.
No, wait, no. Stop, because all that's wrong.
$37.41.
No, all that's wrong. 51 cents at how many minutes?
Per minute.
15.
At 15 minutes is 765.
All right. Add that to the 1140. What's that? Okay, 19 so bucks?
1905. Yep.
$19 for a. For a 15-minute ride, is that...
Plus, what's the 25% tip?
Well, 25 would be another $5, right? Roughly, yeah, right. A little under $5.
Four and a quarter.
Yeah. So 23, up to 23 and a half, basically, with a tip.
Well, I wouldn't use that service. That's too expensive. Don't you think that's too expensive?
I don't know, Joe. I have my own vehicle, and I tend to... use that. I don't
it's
like
supply and demand, though, too. But you also have to figure in. Here's what you have to figure in. Is it Prime? Because if you're going to a concert and you're going home from the XL Energy Center, they're doubling the price. It's not. If it's 11 in the afternoon and nobody's out, you get a good rate.
Well, here, it's pretty simple. You chased Uber and Lyft out of here, who have professionals that figured out a formula. And now you expect new people to rise up and adhere to the formula you city council people created. I don't think it can be done.
Hop in the box. Let's go.
What do you charge for an Uber ride from the Shakopee Women's Prison to the metro area, Kenny?
No, that's just hop in the box.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Don't you have to be down there today?
It's Tuesday.
So to speak.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
And if it's such a good idea... Minneapolis incompetent council people, why do you have to hit the taxpayers up again for $150,000 to prompt the development of these new services? You don't know what you're doing. Robin Wansley does not know what she's doing.
What's amazing is the mayor shot this down,
yeah,
and they, in their stupidity and stubbornness, overruled him.
Because the council ignored the data that was supplied to them. The state did a big study on this. They ignored the data, so they kick Uber out of the Twin. That puts 10,000 people out of work. 10,000 people out of work. Uber Senior Director of Public Affairs, Josh Gold, said, "But we know that by working together with all stakeholders, drivers, riders, and state leaders, we can achieve comprehensive statewide legislation that guarantees drivers a fair minimum wage, protects their independence, and keeps rideshare affordable." But that was vetoed. $1.40 a mile, 51 cents a minute.
I'm getting text messages asking us to cease and desist with the math.
Right.
The math's been fine. The math has been fine.
Well,
the city has a $15.50. The city has a $15.57 minimum wage.
50.57. All right.
And so
divided by a quarter. Because you said it took 15 minutes, right?
Behind this is the equity BS that makes these incompetent council people think you should be able to be a homeowner by driving Lyft.
No.
No, that's not how it works. But that's how they want it to work when they bring about the mystery. It won't be this country.
What's a quarter of 1557?
A little under $4, right?
Because I got 62.28.
Oh my God!
For how long a ride?
What are you doing for?
Where did you go?
I don't know. This is why I use Linda Keller.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
Renewal by Anderson brings you Only Because. You ready for that?
Only Because?
Only Because they come to us all the way from Lake Las Vegas, Nevada.
Well, would you mind doing that right after I tell you about the Masonic Lodge?
Oh, you go right ahead.
Minnesota Masonic. Minnesota's got 120 Masonic Lodges throughout the state. Most people look at those old buildings. Yeah, you know which ones I'm talking about. As the place people go once in a while for a good pancake breakfast because they're community involved, or where their grandpa went to hang out with friends and learn the secret handshakes. Well, you'd be right. But what people don't know about Masonic Lodges is where thousands of men make a commitment to develop their personal potential and work on becoming the best possible versions of themselves. Great members of society. Courteous, honorable, kind, humble, civil. Civil, that's it. In a world dominated by the decline of ethical and moral integrity, which you hear on Garage Logic here every single day, the Masons have embarked on a new program called Civility School. You've heard me talk about this.
Why don't you slow down a little?
I will. The test run on this program will be held on March 30th, this Saturday, from 10 to noon at the Masonic Heritage Center. It's in South Bloomington, and it's a really cool campus.
Can I say something?
Please.
If you want to attend this as a garage logician to see what's really going on, all you have to do is sign up by going to garagelogic.com/Masonic.
Yes.
Or go to garagelogic.com and enter the keyword Masonic, and you can see for yourself what they're up to.
And Garage Logic completely endorses UGLers getting involved because, you know what, they would love to tap your brains. Sign up, go have lunch, and be there from 10 to noon this Saturday. Minnesota Masonic, go to garagelogic.com, keyword Masonic.
Thank I would you. Love to hear from some GLers who do it.
Same.
I bet they're going to discover a world they didn't know existed.
Right.
Only because they come to us all the way from Lake Las Vegas, Nevada, from the Traveling Lymans at WorldwideWaftage.com, courtesy of Renewal by Anderson. It was on this day.
This day is March 26th.
In 1804, going way back.
Yeah, you are.
Present-day Minnesota, west of the Mississippi River, was included in the District of Louisiana to be governed by the Indiana Territory.
Huh? Learn something
nearly
new.
A year later, on March 3, 1805, the region became part of the Louisiana Territory. Didn't somebody buy all that?
Yeah, we got a we
for
steal.
Like $3
we bought
or something?
It from France.
Yeah,
Indiana wants me, Lord.
Lord,
I can't
go back there.
On this day,
March 2, 6.
In 1857. Incpa Duta.
Yep.
That's Scarlet Point.
Yep.
And a band of Dakota attacked Springfield, now Jackson, in Jackson County. Settler colonists gathered in two cabins to defend the town. During the battle, one child died and several adults were wounded. The incident was part of the so-called Spirit Lake Massacre. Mm. Only one death actually occurred at Spirit Lake, Iowa. The failure of the government to capture Incpa Duta may have encouraged other Dakota to expect victory in the U.S.-Dakota War of 1862.
Holy man.
And that happened on this day.
Because it's March 26th.
In 1857, before we were a state.
Mm.
Thank you, GLers.
Yes, indeed, thank you. And if you can't get enough of Garage Logic, join the thousands of GLers who found us on YouTube. Yes, we're on YouTube. Just search Garage Logic Podcast. That's all you have to do. And you're going to subscribe for nearly daily content, including behind-the-scenes content, full segments, video shorts. That's Garage Logic Podcast on YouTube. And The Daily Logician is a perfect way to stay up to date on Garage Logic. The Logician is a daily email sent right to your inbox with the latest news and notes from Garage Logic. Sign up right now at garagelogic.com. You'll find the Daily Logician sign-up form on the right-hand side of the homepage. And once again, go to garagelogic.com, keyword Masonic. It would be neat if you Garage Logicians that have some pretty darn good common sense would help out the Masons because they want your input. Sure.
It's time once again to check in with our guy, Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold, who's on the line with us. No better time than right now to pick up the phone and give Josh a call for that free 48-minute financial consultation. Just call 952-925-5608. That number again, 952-925-5608. You make the call and you get Josh, who will always give you straight talk without sugar-coated advice. And today we're starting with a new listing on the market, Mr. Money Talk. Let's talk about that.
Well, Ross, I don't like talking about politics other than the Federal Reserve and what the Federal Reserve is doing with interest rates. And speaking of the Federal Reserve and interest rates, the likelihood, at least in my opinion, of the Fed meeting their stated objective of cutting interest rates three times this year, which is half as many times as many strategists had predicted would happen this year when they made their predictions in December is, in my estimation, pretty low, given the strength of the economy, given that wages, while starting to come down a little bit in terms of their increases, are still pretty strong, and that house prices and mortgage equivalent rent, which cover a third of the CPI, still pretty strong. That, of course, is because mortgage interest rates are still sitting around 7%, which when I bought my first house many, many years ago, would have been, was a great rate before mortgage rates started climbing up into the low double digits. But that was another time and another place. Today, even with interest rates moving up, the stock market indices are close to highs. We are at that point in time of the year where typically there is a market pullback right around tax time. And tax time is coming up in a few weeks. And I'll just throw in a little plug. If you haven't put money into your IRA for 2023, please do so. It's the last tax break that you have available. And depending on your age, you can put up to $7,500 into that tax-deductible IRA. This is a gift, and you can make that gift even better by investing that in growth-oriented stocks, or if you want to index that, just put it in an S&P index fund, and over time, you will do very well, even with all the ups and downs that take place in the market. Today, you've got a lot of excitement around DJT, which is a merger between a special purpose acquisition company, WDAC, Digital World Acquisition Corporation, which purchased Trump Media Enterprises. There are not a lot of shares outstanding, about 38 million shares. The majority of the shares are held by DJT, and this hype has pumped the stock price of, well, say the price at the time of merger from $50 yesterday to $70 at the opening today. A lot of hype for a company that does not make any money, has very low revenues, and the majority shareholder has the opportunity to unload the bulk of his shares in 6 months. Not something that I'm running out to do, but this could be another mem stock. There was another listing that came out last week. Another company that, again, is not making a lot of money, is heavily dependent on advertising, and did offer shares to many of its, we'll call it, contributors. That was Reddit. And with Reddit, that stock has also taken off. Again, not a lot of shares outstanding, not something that I want to be putting money into. If I'm looking at advertising-related companies, I'd sooner go with Google, Meta, also known as Facebook, or favorite Amazon, who's seeing their advertising dollars grow.
Thank you, Josh. What great information right there. You heard him, GLers. Now is the time to pick up that phone, make that call for that free 48-minute financial consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. Where you will always get straight talk and you'll never get sugar-coated advice.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.